The reporters were openly skeptical of President Biden's performance, and several were pretty aggressive.
Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office?
Do you need to be more realistic and scale down these priorities
now that legislation appears to be hopelessly stalled? Can you now lay out your strategy to protect voting rights?
I spoke to a number of Black voters who fought to get you elected, and now they feel as though you are not fighting hard enough for them.
Why are you trying so hard in your first year to pull the country so far to the left?
This was a far cry from Biden's early portrayal as the next FDR. While some at the lengthy session served up restrained and respectful questions, CNN's Jeff Zeleny asking whether Biden had done enough to restore faith in the competence of government, others were more confrontational.
So does this signal a larger shift in the media's coverage of Biden, do you think?
It's turned harshly negative almost overnight, sparked by sinking polls and the president's defeat, at least for now, on his massive social spending bill and voting rights. New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd says we should feel anger, pity, embarrassment for Biden for overpromising and under-delivering.
I don't really feel so bad. I mean, he did overpromise.
Hey, all I have to say to the reporters is, welcome to the party. So glad you guys could finally show up and see what was going on.
Well, yeah, they're to the party a little late.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, country's not in the best of situations, although we're doing fine because we're working hard and a lot of Americans are.
My question is, where were you all in last January?
Well, even before then, during the election.
Right.
I mean, you know, Joe was hiding out in the basement. I mean, what do you expect?
Right.
We got what
Why did you think that was going to be any better?
Yeah, it's truth. It's Thursday. It means we'll have a few life hacks lined up for you here a little bit later. Got some interviews lined up as well. Trey Watkins is going to check in today in the 7 o'clock hour. And then Dr. Bob Denton will check in right around 8:06. A lot of good stuff. We'll unpack what happened yesterday. The almost two-hour-long news conference. It was.
I can't believe they agreed to that.
You know, Janet, you occasionally, you know, have to pull me back off the rabbit trail. There was nobody there to reel Joe in at times. It was really. I felt bad at times. I really did. Yeah, Maureen Dowd said feel sorry. I did feel sorry for this guy yesterday. You know, because you have a press that's nipping at his heels.
I feel sorry for our country.
Well, I feel sorry for our country. But
I mean, there was a time when I thought, you know, this is bad. This is just, you know, people have taken advantage of him. They're using him as a puppet.
Exactly.
No, he is an arrogant, willing.
Yeah, he's willing
person. He wants the power. He wants to double down. Mm-hmm. He's obnoxious. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, I feel bad for the country. I just feel like those that said, look, Joe, just do what we tell you to do and you're going to be fine. I just felt like he was out there hanging in the wind. And it's an embarrassment. I am embarrassed. I don't care if it would be a Republican.
If they try to undo him, mm-hmm. though, he would be kicking and screaming.
Oh, he got angry yesterday a couple times. Got mad and telling him, read the script. Or read the transcript or whatever. Read my speech. Well, he was reading the speech. He based his question on your Georgia speech.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
He got him. We'll
talk about it more throughout the morning. But we're again, we try to ease you in to your morning, but sometimes you just can't resist, folks.
Well, and then you look at your thought of the day, helping us come out of the nosedive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there is that a little bit. Hold on. Let me see if I've got. If I've got my, no? Huh. Did you send it to me? No.
No, I don't have it.
All right.
But I do have this. Let me do this. There you go.
Okay.
I'll give you my hard copy.
There we go. Because for some reason, it's not showing up in my sent items.
Oh, okay.
So that's my problem.
Yikes.
All right. Here's your thought of the day. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
It's in darkness that eyes finally begin to see.
Hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to get to that place before you start realizing what's really important. I do think there's some folks who are like those reporters, for example, mm-hmm. who are finally able to see a little bit more in the darkness there. So, for sure. 434-248-0704 is our text number. And, of course, we always give you that because we want you to participate in our Mind Jam trivia.
Now, I DJ weddings, and I've DJed radio, and I guess we're still considered sort of DJs. We're on the radio, and it's National DJ Day.
It is.
Who coined the term disc jockey? Interesting.
It hasn't been around as long as
we think.
I thought it might be, but yeah.
So disc jockey, or DJ for short, who coined this phrase or this term? Was it William Randolph Hearst, Walter Winchell?
Winchell.
A Winchell. I'm feeling a Winchell.
Winchell.
Walter Winchell or Hedda Hopper?
You know who Walter Winchell is? He was the one that, I mean, everybody listened to. He was the one that called out Lucille Ball as a communist.
Oh,
I mean, he was a big, but he would have regular stuff, and then he would have like gossip things thrown in. And
he would have had a podcast. Probably would have been very popular.
Yeah, probably so. Well, all three of those folks popular. Yeah. But yeah.
William Randolph Hearst, Walter Winchell, or Hedda Hopper.
There you go.
Who coined the phrase DJ, or disc jockey, rather, and then it turned into DJ because we want everything shorter. Just look at your texts.
Right.
OMG.
434-248-0704 is our number. In 1949, on this day, J. Edgar Hoover... What do you give a little girl who has everything?
Shirley Temple?
Yeah, Shirley Temple. What do you give a little girl like that?
Something to play with.
A tear gas fountain pen. I want one of those. That'd be cool.
You know, that kind of thing evolved into things like this on certain movies.
You finished?
Yes. Good. Pen. This is a class 4 grenade. 3 clicks, arms the 4-second fuse, another 3 disarms it.
How long did you say the fuse was?
Oh, grow up, 007.
They all said the pen was mightier than the sword.
Thanks to me, they were right.
I like the old cue. The new one's good, but the old one was really good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Mm. Well, Shirley Temple got a tear gas fountain pen.
I know.
On this day in history.
You imagine that?
I think
no, mommy, don't. Oh. She's on the phone.
On
of course,
the
good there
wasn't. Ship.
There wasn't 911 back then, and I'm sure J. Edgar gave her his phone number in case she ever needed some counsel.
Could be. 1961, Democrat John F. Kennedy, the youngest elected president of the United States, is administered his oath of office at his inauguration by Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren, and Robert Frost recites "Gift Outright."
Yeah. We're gonna
How
have
cool
some,
is that?
It is cool. We're going to have some inspirational speeches this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and all of you non-binaries. This is the first
there's
one.
There's so many of those listening.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed.
You know, Janet, as I was putting this together last evening, I was looking at some speeches because we're going to get to another one here in just a moment that you recognize. These major inspirational speeches, and even go back to the Gettysburg Address, they weren't long. They were anywhere from 10 to 17 minutes, and they were historic.
Right.
And they were great
because people could hang in for the whole thing.
Right. The attention span wasn't blip. You know, that's about it for the average
person.
But you
tell me how that makes sense. I mean, our attention spans are shorter and the speeches are getting longer.
Yeah, it's backwards.
A little bit. In 1971, this amazing song was released by Marvin Gaye, and it was addressing police brutality.
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Right on. Right on.
Brother, brother.
Yeah.
Such a great song.
A lot of conversations going on during that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good stuff.
It is. And still relevant, I think, today. And then in 1986, the first federal holiday honoring Martin Luther King Jr. is held.
part of his great speech.
One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
And, you know, the sad thing is that some would choose, and we've had the stories, to segregate those people. To segregate those kids and not let them be together and put them in separate classrooms. It's crazy.
It's
and
exactly
those are Democrats.
The opposite of what, you know, they throw his name around so mm-hmm. casually.
Yeah.
And yet the things that they're wanting to do are the polar opposite of what yeah. his dream was.
It really is.
So we got some birthdays today.
Oh,
quite
my gosh.
A few, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to take the first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, let's do this. This guy has kept his, he has got a dry humor. You don't know if he's going to jump out of the seat and do SmackDown. Or he's just, you just want to sit back and listen. It's Buzz Aldrin, 92 years old today.
You were not the first man to walk on the moon, but you've actually talked about this. You were the first man to relieve himself on the moon. Is that true?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Well, no,
this is...
Hey, they sure calls.
But not on the moon. You know, you don't want to...
You didn't
you
unzip.
Don't
yeah, right.
You do not
yeah.
want to unzip.
Right, no, right.
Wow. That's a man for you. Boy, the minute you get out, hey. The minute you get in outer space, you know.
I think I shared this on the air. I did a big remodel job for a lawyer up in Amherst County. That's all I'll say. And, I mean, you know, he had a little bit of property, and he said, I'll be right back. Boy stepped around the truck, relieved himself, and he says, that's the beauty of having a couple, 3 acres. You can just pee anywhere you want.
Just don't get it. I mean, I'll be outside, and I'm like, whoa, that bathroom's right there.
It's 15 feet
what
away.
What are you doing? It's a guy thing. I don't get
I
it.
I think it is.
I don't pretend to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Maher is having a birthday today. Now, he is an interesting gentleman.
He is.
Whether you love him or right. whether you don't, I have to
there
respect
is a,
him.
A thread of honesty that comes through what he says. Now, I don't like some of his liberal views.
I don't either, but he does have the ability
yeah.
to have an unbiased viewpoint
right, right.
that is not necessarily popular
nope.
with those who like to claim him as their
yeah.
liberal
icon or
speaking
whatever yeah.
voice. So he turned 66.
This is him with Joe Rogan of all people.
Mm-hmm. Look, the left often uninformed.
Yeah.
They just are.
But they have these bullet points that they feel like they definitely can shut a conversation down.
That's
with.
What I mean. They don't feel like they
inequality.
Have to learn yeah. a lot about a subject
yeah.
because you have these mic drop sayings or phrases that just stop people from talking.
Yeah.
And that's why I like him. Yeah. I, you know, I can't. And same thing. We'll have a story about Bruce Jenner a little bit later on this morning.
Yeah.
I don't understand the choices that he has made, as he wants to be called a she now, but there is a level of common sense there mm-hmm. and honesty
yeah.
that I respect.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that later on
okay.
this morning. Of course, I love this next guy.
This is another inspirational speech.
Dwight from The Office, Rainn Wilson, is turning 56.
This is him speaking to other salespeople in... Somewhere in
the it's the speech that Jim wrote with all the speeches
pounding.
From the different dictators,
right.
like Mussolini,
right.
and yeah.
And the crowd began to react after they were over the initial shock.
We are warriors, salesmen of northeastern Pennsylvania. I ask you once more, rise and be worthy of this historical hour.
They're like, wow.
He was feeling the power.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. three inspirational. JFK, Martin Luther King, and Dwight Schrute.
And Dwight Schrute.
All
there
in the
you
same
go.
Way. Man, let's just close up shop and go home.
I know. I don't know how inspirational this next guy is, although some people really enjoy
yeah.
his movies.
Mm-hmm.
David Lynch is turning 76 today.
This is where when you go by the office and he's drifting off somewhere... Daydreaming.
Yeah, I dream, but I don't go by nighttime dreams. It's daydreams that I love. And sinking down, sitting comfortably in a chair where you might be controlling some of the thoughts and directing yourself here or there, but at a certain point, the dream takes over and you enter in a place where things are unraveling before you without your intervention.
Sounds like the press conference yesterday with the president.
I think David Lynch has some special gummies on his desk. That's what I think. Just my opinion.
Well, you could be right.
Mm. And then finally, Lynchburg's own Skeet Ulrich is having a birthday today, turning 52.
Hi, I'm Skeet Ulrich. I play F.P. Jones on Riverdale, and today I will be reading some of your fan theories. And we know you guys are crazy, so let's see what you came up with.
Wow, got it.
F.P. is actually Billy from Scream. He didn't really die, but escaped, changed his name, and started a new life. It would explain Jughead's affinity for movies.
When you type in his name, all these Scream, you know, clips come up.
You're right.
I didn't think it was appropriate in the morning to scream so much.
Look at you.
I'm doing better.
Look at you showing some restraint. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. Randy,
he's
not showing any restraint.
What's he doing?
Well, we were talking about Buzz Aldrin.
Right.
He said, if women went to the moon, they would have stopped a lot during the trip and would have taken more luggage. Well, we might have stopped and asked for directions if we needed them. That's for sure.
This is true.
Perhaps we would have gotten there sooner.
What did they do? Go around the moon five times before they landed? Couldn't they make up their mind?
No, don't stop there. No, don't stop there.
No, I see a mall over there.
Stop. Now, you make that comment, but you know full well that the last people on Earth that are going to want to go to a mall is going to be your work wife and your home wife.
Oh, no doubt. You ladies do not like you go in and get what you need.
That's
and you
right.
get the heck out
we
of
shop
there.
With purpose. That's right. Right. All right. Here's our Mind Jam trivia, 434-248-0704. It's multiple choice today.
Yeah. Today is National DJ Day. Who coined the term disc jockey? Was it William Randolph Hearst, Walter Winchell, or, hey, I got the name right, Walter Winchell, or Hedda Hopper?
That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
We'll be back with the answer. Thank you for joining us this morning on The Morning Jam.
I've written down the information, so please, Mr. DJ, read my dedication.
Get down.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m.
Right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
6:27 on the Morning Jam. It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Means we'll have some Life Hack Thursday. Got some really good interviews lined up today as well. But right now we're going to our Morning Mind Jam trivia. It's DJ Day, National DJ Day. Who coined the term disc jockey? Was it William Randolph Hearst, Walter Winchell, or Hedda Hopper? Janet.
Well, a lot of people thought it was Hearst, but it was not. Of course, newspaper man. It was Walter Winchell.
Okay.
He coined the phrase. Now, here's the thing. He coined the phrase in 1935.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Did they? I guess they did call them discs back then.
Well, do you know who was the first DJ? Do you have any idea what year that might have been?
I don't.
He was out of California. He was 16 years old. His name was Ray Newby.
Mm-hmm.
He was a college student who would play records from a small transmitter long before the term disc jockey was popularized.
Okay.
That was in 1909.
Wow.
I know.
Holy cow.
Yeah. He was the first one that thought, hey, somebody might enjoy that. Let's do it. And then, of course, in the 50s, it changed forever. So.
Yeah.
What a difference a few decades makes. But it is National DJ Day. Go hug your DJ.
Okay.
Hug your favorite DJ.
Well, I want to hug one of our favorite listeners. We didn't forget Ruth Ann's birthday. We wanted to separate it out because she's so special. It's her birthday today, and we have one of the first times she called us, after we had been on the air for maybe about a month. Ruth Ann struggled at the end of year before last because she lost her husband, and then she had surgery, brain surgery.
Yeah,
and
it was a rough year.
It was a rough year, and those two incidents happened within 60 days of each other. And this is really only about a month and a half out of that recovery, and she is she's just so delightful. It's her birthday today, so wish her a happy birthday. You can text us 434-248-0704 if you want us to give her a shout on the air. Here's Ruth Ann, one of her first calls to the Morning Jam.
And I'm okay. Mm-hmm. So if I repeat these, well, you heard it twice and you won't forget it.
That's She's right. still got her wit. There's no doubt about it.
Gianni says, Ruth Ann, tell her she's the bomb. Good to hear from her.
Oh, me. I love that.
Teresa says, yay, Ruth Ann. We've missed you so much. Another person says, wonderful to hear Ruth Ann's voice.
There you go. Happy birthday to Ruth Ann today. We heard from her yesterday, Janet.
And we've got happy birthday, Ruth Ann's, flooding in on our text line.
Okay, cool.
As well, because everybody loves Ruth Ann.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.